about Team Foundation Server. My esteemed colleagues, Lori, do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Lori Lampkin. I'm the Director of Program Management for Team Foundation Server.
Okay, and Doug, what about yourself?
My name is Doug Newman, and I'm one of Lori's program managers.
So you just
and so much more, said. Doug, so much more.
At least you didn't say lackey or...
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
I really want pawn on my personal business card. So we're talking about Team Foundation Server. This is an interactive session, so...
What I want you to do is, let me get this out of the way, hashtag CH9Live. Send us your questions about Team Foundation Server. And actually, let's start off with some of the stuff that we talked about in terms of announcements. So everybody got the special magic card that's attending Bill. It was like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or something.
Yes, we were calling them golden tickets internally.
Golden tickets, yeah.
Yes, exactly. We're very excited. It's the first time we're really opening this up to a large group of people, all the Build attendees. And we're also inviting several people. If you watch Brian Harry's blog, he's posted some invitation codes up there too. So we've been seeing people sign up all day, and it's been very exciting. The team has been watching the service, and it's awesome.
So for people that don't have the what exactly the cloud-hosted version of TFS is, what's available in it?
I'll
let you guys both go.
We don't know how to do this.
It is Team Foundation Server. It's the same code base. We've ported it onto Azure. We've got one code base that runs both on-premises and in Azure. So it's got all of your source control, bug tracking, build automation, project management features, test case management features. There's a couple things that are in an on-premises Team Foundation Server that are not in the cloud yet. Those things are like the virtual lab management stuff is not in the hosted service yet. The reporting system that's an on-premises server is not there. The SharePoint integration isn't there yet. But otherwise, it really is your Team Foundation Server, just another way to get it.
And in terms of people, you know, you mentioned some of the services that aren't there, and we've made a strategic decision not to add these features. This is kind of our first step. We're in a developer preview model, and it's not that those features won't be there at some unknown time in the future, but this is the stuff that we know we've gotten reliably working in Azure. Is that fair to say?
Right. Well, we're not going to do just one release of TFS in the cloud. We really want to deliver value more and more frequently up there. So some of these major features that Doug was just talking about, but also just responding to customer feedback. We're very excited to be in the services business so that we can be very responsive. And we watch things like our user voice site. I've been in the booth all day talking to people. Absolutely, we want to be responsive to what people want.
And the user voice site, just so we can plug this, because this is where you all can give feedback on any of our ALM tools and, of course, Visual Studio as well. Do you know the URL off the top of your head?
I think it's visualstudio.com. Pretty sure. Do you think that's right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's that.
Sure. We'll take that as an answer.
Try it and let us know.
We are determining that if that is a correct answer or not as we speak.
We'll hear.
There are people, yes. Okay, so while that happens, so we have the situation, let's say we're a team. we just won some cool contract. We're going to be building some website for somebody. We need to spin up TFS. Now, assuming this was available for everyone, kind of what are the steps and what are the things that you need to do to get your site up and running? And what are the integration points that you see? How do we get started?
With hosted TFS?
Yeah.
It's really simple. You go to the TFS preview website, and there's just a button to click an account, and we have a video up there so you can kind of see what you're getting into in terms of the cool features that are available. But you create your account, and then once your account is created, the next step is to create your team project. And you can choose, just like on the on-premise service, you can choose which process template you want.
And let's talk about a little bit just about those process templates for folks maybe not familiar. What am I choosing between? What's in VS 11?
Yeah, so we have both the Agile and the CMMI templates are available. They've been in Visual Studio 2010 as well. And then we also have in the box this time, or in the cloud too, is the Scrum template that we were shipping out of band on top of 2010. So that's now part of fully integrated into the Dev 11 product release.
Okay, so we get a number of assignments. Let's just do, you know, the classic Agile. What do you think of the process like? Is it, you know, we're gonna have the website open, assign bugs, and do some of the stuff, or kind of walk through the process of how we'd go from you know, user stories or some of the classic things that we do to define requirements, and how does that work in hosted TFS?
Sorry, these are kind of my questions.
Okay, go for it,
you'll get the next one. So Jason was talking a little bit about this earlier, but we have some great new storyboarding tools that. When you start envisioning what you want to build, often what you dream up in your head is different from somebody else, and that's pretty bad if your customer gets it in the end months later or weeks later and says, hey, that's not really what I was looking for. So our storyboarding tools provide a nice visual experience of, you know, what your application looks like and some key user flows through them. And it's a bunch of shapes integrated in PowerPoint. So we've seen people do some great animations and really take this stuff to town to really tell the story of what the customer need is that they're trying to fulfill with their user story or their requirement. So we start with that visual. It's nice because it's built in and integrated with Team Foundation Server. So those storyboards are attached to work items that when they're assigned to developers, they can get the full context of what they're going to work on. It's not some mystery spec somewhere else that they have to go find. It's right there in the work that's assigned to them.
Okay. And work item tracking is, you know, where a lot of people, you know, whether it's the one person that gets to assign everything, is where people eat, sleep, and breathe. It's almost like, you know, that is a massive responsibility, a massive chunk of my day. Are there anything new for Dev 10 users, for Dev 11 users, in terms of work item tracking that you're going to love this feature, if you will?
There's a lot.
The new stuff for work item tracking. Yeah.
Work item tracking.
Well, I'll go. I'm just trying to give you some airtime here.
Here's the first thing I'll say is that we've completely rewritten the web experience around Team Foundation Server all up, but specifically the work item tracking experience. So we've done demos where we've had a million work items in a query result and just scrolled right through those, and it seems quite seamless. So we've done a lot of work to make that in particular really great. We've revamped the user experience in the rich client as well, so that it's a lot more 2011 feeling, mm-hmm. I'd say, than it has been in the past. So that user experience is really stepped up from what it has been in the past.
Cool. And for people, you know, where do you see, and maybe Microsoft is a good example in terms of how you all are using TFS, but do you find yourself using the web experience, and have you all been dog-fooding the cloud version as well? Mm-hmm. And how's that going, or what's the, do you find yourself, like, because we need that really rich experience, we're actually using the client more, and it's the, when I'm at home, I'm using the web interface, or you all want to talk about how you all right. dog-food TFS?
So I'm a program manager, so I'm in the web most of the time. Now, our developers are in Visual Studio, and what's great is that those same experiences, you know, are flowing through both interfaces, so both people can get it. But I think developers like to stick in Visual Studio. We have redone our Team Explorer experience and have some great ways for you to manage your own personal work with what we call My Work, so that you can activate and suspend work that's in progress, so that if you're, you know, working on something and you get interrupted, you can suspend that and then resume it later and get your full context of where you were, including files that were open, breakpoints, etc. So, you know, when I'm working as a developer, it's like I want to see, you know, my work. It's a very focused experience, custom to what I'm trying to do. As a project manager or a program manager, I want to see a broad set of stuff. How are we burning things down? You know, how are the different teams going about their current sprints? How are tasks moving through the system? And that, we have some great new interfaces on the web client for that.
Do you want to talk about just some of those things in terms of burn down? Is it like reporting stuff? Because I know that's probably one of the classic things where somebody has to send the email on here's our status everyone and that sort of thing.
So what are some of the features around that? So the My Work experience is pretty cool because the developers, as they go and say, this is my work that's currently in progress, they go ahead and they check that in, and that work item is associated with their check-in. As well, and that's been in TFS for some time, but the My Work experience makes that a little more seamless. That flows through to several new tools on the web. We have some backlog planning tools, which is essentially a nice ordered list that you can go and drag and drop and make edits very in a fast and fluid way, add new backlog items really simply. And then some sprint planning tools that allow you to, you know, you can assign those backlog items to sprints, look at the team members you have participating in the sprints, and then see what their capacity is, make some assignments, and really easily make sure that you haven't overloaded people or overloaded the team for a sprint. That flows then into our task board. That's a great tool for daily stand-ups where you can see the tasks assigned to people, and you can kind of go through and say, okay, what's been done, and drag things and move them over.
I love the task board, and frankly, I love the whole design. Just kind of that Metro style makes it not feel like a web page, if that's
right.
Yeah,
it's good. So kudos.
Yeah.
Do you all?
We've been using it ourselves for some time, and it's definitely brought a lot of transparency and visibility to the team, and helps people work better together.
Yeah, that's great. Now, remember, we are taking questions, so hashtag CH9Live. Send us your questions, and I do have a question here. Andre Abrantes asks, which new features are interesting in TFS for GitHub users? So for people using GitHub, you all want to answer that?
Yeah, I'll take this one.
Okay,
thanks.
I'll shut up now.
No, that's okay. Well, GitHub being a hosted service, I think our TFS preview also being a hosted service has some interest there as well. So the experience of signing up for TFS preview is super fast, super easy. It takes about 20 seconds, whereas most of our on-premises customers, installing TFS takes 20 minutes plus. So it's super easy. Another thing that we've really done to improve the version control system in TFS, in the next version of TFS, which is part of the developer preview that's been announced this week, is the idea of a local workspace, so that you no longer have your files on disk marked read-only until you check them out. You can work willy-nilly on those files, and then we'll reconcile those things. It enables a great offline experience, just like you have with Git being a distributed version control system. So I think those two things in particular are really interesting for people who are, you know, otherwise looking at GitHub for source control.
So a lot of people are interested in DVCS. So can you talk more about, like, what's the, you know, with Mercurial or Git, or what are the differences in terms of DVCS for this local copy?
Right. So
that's made available.
Yeah. So DVCS gives you a more disconnected, a richer disconnected experience, I'll be honest. So because you have so much stuff locally, you've got all your history, you can do branching locally and those kinds of things. With TFS, you still have to do those against the server. TFS is a little more geared towards an online connected and a more collaborative team, whereas the distributed version control systems were largely born out of open source projects where you were frequently working disconnected for a long time before you would resync with the people who were managing the open source project. So that said, you know, they're all good solutions. You got to look at what the right solution is for your particular situation. And TFS is a highly scalable solution as well. So.
Okay. And we do have a question from the audience. And for people that want the golden ticket, how can I get an invitation code to sign up for the preview?
Well, if you're here at the conference, you got one already.
Okay.
In addition, Brian Harry has his blog, and on his blog he posted a limited number of invitation codes, I think for the first 250 accounts that signed up. And I'd say keep watching Brian's blog. We'll keep spilling some accounts out there as time goes on.
So, and one other thing, everybody who has an account has the ability to generate a code that they can give to five of their friends. And then five of their friends can have an account.
So, so it's
look
social.
On Twitter. Yeah, there's a social element to it. But look on Twitter for people, you know, broadcasting out their codes, and hopefully we'll get some social growth to the use of the service through that.
Really, I'm just asking for myself. Let's
right,
be honest.
Okay.
Now that I have one, I can now invite
five more people.
Yeah, that's exciting. Another question here is, can I customize the project management tools I've seen? So what level of customization is available, you know, for the web and for the client tool?
Yeah, so the tools that we've been showing throughout the conference that I was just talking about, the backlog management, the sprint planning, and the task boards are all, we've been showing them mainly against the Scrum template. But we have some configuration that you can do to map your process that you're using to these tools. So for example, if you choose different states on your tasks, you want extra states, or you want to call them something different, or have a different state model on your tasks, you just use this mapping. It's a file right now. I hope to have something better, a better experience as we progress in our development here. But right now it's a file that you can go and say, I don't want to use a task work item. I'd rather have it be this other work item, and here's the states that I'd like. So really, even though it's a very agile user interface that we're exposing, it works against, you know, really it works against CMMI, it works against any sort of process template. You just have to say how you want things to visualize.
Okay. You know, and a lot of people have been using TFS for a while, and they have, you know, pre-built customizations. They're making calls into the API. Anytime you do a check-in, you know, or maybe it's nightly builds or continuous mm-hmm. integration, you know, they have a server where they're running all their unit tests. How does that integration, are there APIs that developers can use for the TFS preview part, or what's kind of the best practices for, you know, doing some stuff maybe on-premise and then doing some stuff in the cloud, and how does it all kind of work together for people that have built that level of customization?
Well, it is the same server running in the cloud again. The same web services and the same client object model talks to the server. So all of the customizations you've done that go through our client object model or through the web services API, those are going to continue to work just fine in the cloud.
You're changing a URL then, effectively?
Effectively, that's exactly right, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are some extensibility points server-side that very few people leverage. We don't talk really broadly about them, and those things are not available as well because we're running a multi-tenant service for you. We can't have everybody giving us code to run on their behalf on our infrastructure. So those extensibility points, well, yeah. So,
I'm just throwing that out.
I just wanted
to make a dramatic yet.
Because, I mean, those are valid extensibility scenarios, and we will get there with time. We will probably architect them differently so that they work more appropriately for the cloud service.
But for the person that has those today, if you do have that machine, you know, you can get the nightly build data and then have that, say, sent to the cloud or...
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, you can run your same build, automated build scenarios, unit testing, test automation scenarios against the hosted services you're running against an on-premise service today.
Okay. And we do have another question here. Can I use a login other than the Windows Live ID?
Right.
So I don't know. Okay. You know, maybe I'm using Facebook to log in to TFS.
So right now the service only accepts Windows Live ID users, but the service is built on the Azure Access Control Services, which expose many more different identity types. And so we have visions in the future of opening it up broader. We definitely want to support Active Directory Federation services, so you can use your corporate identity to authenticate against the hosted service. And we want to make it possible for you to choose whether you want to accept Facebook login, for example, or Yahoo or Google or one of these other identity types for your account.
Okay. You know, we talked a lot about the hosted service. What about the, you know, the TFS in a box, if you will? I'm setting this up. And you mentioned some of the things around lab management. So what are some of the things that for people that aren't looking to, say, host for whatever reason, maybe it's security, maybe it's auditing, that they need to host everything inside the firewall. What are the key features that are coming in TFS 11?
So this is the same thing. You know, the on-premise product and the inbox product, if you will, or the cloud product are the same. So I look at, we've done a ton in the Agile space to make sure that you have great tools for planning and requirements definition all the way flowing through to your team. And they can create great agile unit tests and run them and, you know, keep that whole, you know, virtuous cycle going. We've done a lot of features around just developer productivity. So things like the ability to manage your own work, the ability, you know, the nice visual refresh that we've done, local workspaces that Doug talked about a little bit. And we have a code review feature as well that developers really enjoy. They can go say, hey, go check this out, you know, and give
me
some comments.
I have to stop you on that because it's the best feature ever. Can just kind of, you know, go into the detail of what code review does, or at least maybe it's because we live inside Outlook,
yeah,
that it's such a cool feature. But do you want to just kind of give the spiel on
Sure,
on,
yeah.
On code
so
review?
You're working on some code and you think you're pretty much done and you wanted to have one of your buddies go check it out and give you some feedback on it. From the My Work experience right there in Team Explorer, you simply just go request a code review. You can assign that code review to multiple team members or just to one or, you know, a set of people. And then that attaches the shelf set to a code review work item. And that code review work item shows up in your peers' queue of active my work. So if they're working on something else, they can see that code review come in. And then we have a nice experience for having a conversation. You can see the edits. You can see we have some very nice new diff experiences within Dev 11. And so you can go and make comments on at a file level, at a code review level, or at a change level. And you can go back and forth and reply back to each other and be able to see, no, should I make this change? No, this other one. And so you can have a nice dialogue there. All that gets saved and as part of that whole workflow makes it a lot easier for you to be sure that you're getting feedback throughout that product cycle.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, when somebody gives you those comments aren't lost in the face-to-face conversation where, you know, the 10 experienced PMs are in the room and the poor person's just having a feature review and everybody just kills them in person. Now it's recorded throughout time.
Right.
So you know that the history of those decisions, because it is really important. It's like we made that decision and we decided to change something for a specific reason, and it was, you know, scalability or whatever the specific scenario is, mm-hmm. and you at least have a record of those differences and, you know, why we made this change, why we made this
fix, and so forth. We tried to make it a very lightweight code review experience because, you know, people are just trying to get work done here and you don't want to create a lot of hurdles to get in their way. So it's a very simple gesture to go get the code review. You can see it within your work. It's very lightweight to be able to accept the suggestions or to just, you know, go on your way, you know, so it's not a real heavyweight sort of process to follow. It's, you know, it's something to just help ensure you have higher quality code earlier.
And what about connecting, there's a question here, connecting different systems. So can I do Java development against TFS? And I'm just thinking, like, maybe it's in a hybrid scenario. There's some projects using mm-hmm. Eclipse, and I know we had made a acquisition of Martin Woodward's company some while ago. Talk about, you know, are there new things for Java developers, maybe using Eclipse or a TFS client?
Yeah, so a year and a half ago, we did release the Team Explorer Everywhere client for Team Foundation Server, which enables Eclipse developers and non-Windows developers like Mac or Linux or Unix to connect to TFS and have a great experience as well. That client is being innovated in parallel with the Visual Studio client. So those same features that we're adding to the Visual Studio client, many of them are also showing up over in the Eclipse clients as well. So things like the local workspace stuff we talked about, we're investing a lot there. There's also some features in the Eclipse client that are sort of native to like the Unix environment. For example, you want to sometimes set an execute bit on files. And TFS doesn't have a great way to preserve those things in the current product, but we're working on some innovation that'll help improve those particular scenarios and get past what is kind of a hack that's in place for Team Explorer Everywhere users today.
Okay.
And you can check out Team Explorer Everywhere on MSDN. It's downloadable from there.
And this all works with TFS, the cloud,
the hosted
cloud?
Hosted preview, yes.
Yes? Okay.
It does indeed, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing head nods is a good thing. Now, in terms of what about Azure and some of the testing stuff? So I had seen some announcements, you know, being able to spin up, and we want to spin up a number of instances to do some testing. Is that something you all feel comfortable giving the high-level spiel on how testing would work in
Azure? I don't really feel comfortable talking about that.
Yeah, to be honest, like, that's not part of what we're doing right now in this particular release. When we do that virtual lab management capability with TFS, one of the scenarios there is I want to do that testing in the cloud, help me to spin up those VM instances on the Azure cloud. But that's not a feature that's part of the TFS preview at this point in time.
Right.
Okay, great. So it looks like we're actually out of time. So Lori, website to plug is the user voice, right?
So it was Visual Studio /user voice. I hope that's it. I'm going to hear it if I don't.
Bing it.
Yeah, so if you're lost. Or sign up for the hosted preview. And in the upper right-hand corner is a submit feedback link. Click on that link, it'll take you right there.
That's right.
And is there a waiting list for the hosted preview for folks that don't get the invite or don't have any friends?
Yes. If you don't have any friends or if you don't get the invite, if you go to tfspreview.com and go through the sign-up experience where it asks you for an invitation code, you You click on that. When you don't have one to type in, there's a little link that'll show up right beneath it that says, you know, click here to get into the waiting list. And so okay. then you can come, give us your email address, and as we are onboarding more people, we'll email you a code so that you can get connected.
Awesome. Doug, Lori, thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Your time.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Got a pause.